Are you ready, Wisconsin? Because I am. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on Civic Media. Download the app from your favorite app store. Tune in at your favorite affiliate. Minnesota to the west, the lake to the east, the Youp to the north, and the Flatlanders to the south. We're covering the whole state here on the Maggie Dawn Show. And today is Talkback Thursday. We're going to try this out, see how it rolls. Me and Evan have worked up some, I think, some really interesting sound from the week in news. There's been so much being said. So many changing opinions throughout the week. And Talkback Thursday is where you get to tell me what you were screaming at your radio or your TV when you heard some of these things said. So we're going to play sound. I want to hear from you. If you know that there's something that you heard and you want to respond to it, that's what I want to hear from you about. 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. If you've got the app, it's really convenient, isn't it, Evan? Like, all you got to do is just press the little text or call button.
And it's brand new. If you downloaded the app, you know, a few months ago when we were first pushing it, trying to get you guys to do this thing, it automatically updated on iOS at least.
Yes, it
did. If it hasn't already, it's coming to the Google App Store really soon here.
Yep, I heard the Android's lagging behind the Apple product.
That's right, but hey, you know, that's normal, you know, because iPhone superiority and whatnot.
We can make fun of iPhone people, of which I am one.
Me too.
Who want to pay like $3,000 and wait in line for 4 hours. Join us to talk back to the people that you hear in the news, including, you know, even things I've said, because I want to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Especially, you know, I don't think there's enough women that call into political talk radio, especially on the right. I don't hear a whole lot of women calling. I wonder why. Might it be a slightly testosterone-laden, hostile environment? Yeah, maybe. Please join us, 844-967-2789. But there were a couple of things that I wanted to hit on before we get into the sound, and we will be turning to that immediately in our next segment. Before we get to that, you know, we had spent some time yesterday, Evan, talking through what the GOP actually does with their proposed legislation and policy. Because to me, you got to get beyond the performative politics, right? You got to read into what's actually happening. Because on both the left and the right, and I think the right's on balance, much more fanning the flames and speaking in rhetorical generalities.
And in unison. I mean, that's part of the really spooky part is, I mean, you just hear the same thing everywhere.
Republicans, right, we all know this, message discipline. And it doesn't really matter how crazy the message is, they all tend to say it. What's interesting and why I want to do Talkback Thursdays is I think we may be entering into a new phase of that with the GOP, right? Where I began Monday by saying, we've got an indictment. Is this going to cleave the GOP in two? Are we going to start hearing voices of dissension? And I think my prediction has been borne out this week. We see many of the presidential candidates beefing up their language and critique. But what I want to begin with is some more meat on the bones about how GOP actual policies, both here in the state of Wisconsin and nationally, hurt the middle class. If we can say as a value that we generally share, whether we're right or left or centrist, whether we don't care about politics or do very deeply, that in general, government should work for the vast majority of us, the middle class. It should help support the middle class. It should lead to economic growth that actually leads to the wealth increasing for the middle class, that we should be raising people up out of poverty, not deploying policies that press folks down and keep them in poverty permanently. It should matter if policies work, right? And so yesterday, I took some time talking about the fact that the state GOP, for the second time in as many years, is going to turn down Medicaid expansion, which, if they passed it, would save all Wisconsin taxpayers $1.6 billion. And it would get 90,000 Wisconsinites health insurance. But the GOP says no to those people, says no to that tax savings. Of course, meanwhile, putting the screws to Milwaukeeans. And the other thing that we spent some time on yesterday, I'm just going to pick out my favorite fact from the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy. There's been a trio of bills introduced by the Republican Party in Washington, D.C., that cumulatively would result next year in approximately $28 billion in tax savings for the richest 1% of Americans. $28 billion in tax savings to the richest 1%. The tax savings to the poorest 20% of us would be a mere 1.6, I believe, if I got that right. Let me just, I want to double check, because we just don't want to get these facts wrong if we're trying to have fact-based arguments, right? It's actually $28.4 billion. And $28.4 billion in tax cut savings to the richest 1% and $1.4 billion in savings to our poorest 20% of Americans. That's the Republican tax plan. But this didn't come out of nowhere. Gotta share some facts also about the Trump tax cut of 2017. Because if you want to know who the GOP cares about, you just look at their tax plans, their tax legislation. So before I tell you exactly what Trump did, I want to share this fact with everyone. In 1959, basically at the height of the expansion of the white middle class, when many of our parents or grandparents were seeing first-time home ownership or the increase in their home equity, back in 1959, the top tier in income tax, you want to take a guess, E, at what the top tier income tax rate was in this country in 1959?
1959. Okay. Now, some people might, they might take the wrong tact on this. I'm going to say damn near half. I'm going to say that like 50%. It was very, very high for very, very wealthy people 70 years ago.
Higher.
Ooh. I was on the right track. Yeah.
You're almost cool. Go higher.
71%.
Higher.
No way, man.
Way.
80%.
Higher.
So, and okay, now you got to make something clear for me. We're talking on...
So this is graduated income tax, right? So it's not your first dollar that gets taxed
right.
at this rate,
sure,
right?
Sure,
it
sure,
steps
sure.
in. But once you hit the like richy rich level for the absolute top level of income taxation, it was 91%.
Oh, wow. That even blows my mind. That's
Doesn't
that's
it?
Insane.
That is where we were. When the U.S. economy was booming and the middle class was growing, union jobs, pensions, benefits, your kids were always going to do better than you did. Yeah, the top level of income taxation in this country was 91%. By 1965, it was 70%. And we know where it's gone since then. The current highest level income tax rate is 37% now.
Wow.
Really makes
you graduated,
you
know, once you've already made $10 million, whatever the number is.
It's as if, you know, this is what I always love about conservatives, because they'll argue about economic policy and it's all grounded in this basic microeconomics, Keynesian theory. And I don't want everybody to start eyes glossing over, right? But within basic economic theory is this idea of diminishing marginal returns. And it's very true for richness. This is why you see folks like Warren Buffett pledging to give basically all their money away. It's like, how many Maybachs can you buy before the Maybach has no value, right? Like at a certain point, it is literally only greed. And I'm going to use this to, and by the way, Joe Biden wants to raise that top income tax level to 39.6, right? Just a couple of percentage points. Of course, heresy to the GOP. I don't get it. It's, you know, it was like when, what was that GOP verbal linguist? I can picture his face. He started calling estate taxes death taxes because we all die.
Oh man.
This what is, was that guy's name? Text us if you remember, 844-967-2789. You know, GOP will rail about income taxes, and it's like, nobody I know is hitting the top level of income tax. And by the way, most of the folks that I do that might eventually hit that one day be like, sure, take another, what is it, 2.6% from me. Because diminishing marginal returns. They already have the big house, the nice cars. Their kids' tuitions are fully funded. They've got money stocked away, socked away for retirement. Which brings me to this point. Trump tried to lower the capital gains tax to 15%. Okay? Don't zone out on this. Capital gains tax just means the income that is earned on money you already have. It's the term that makes everybody glaze over. Oh, capital gains, stop listening. No, listen to that stuff. It's just the income that you earn on money you already have, which, by the way, typically you have put no labor, no effort towards. It's just money making money.
It's incredible. I mean, you lose money if you bend down to pick up $100. It's crazy.
Right. So it's simply investment gains. Capital gains. Ooh, fancy. They mean money gains, money making money. That's what they're talking about. He wanted to lower it to 15%. I have a question. Why is the income earned from labor presumptively to be taxed more than the income made from money? Don't we have that inverted? I'm going to throw a few more facts to you about taxes when we come back. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked in and join the convo. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Civic Media. You know I want to stay.
Help me take my life less seriously. It's only life after all. Yeah. Well, darkness has a hunger that's insatiable.
Hello, everybody. And welcome back. I am Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on Civic Media. Join the conversation, 844-967-2789. You are going to hear me always, always, always talking about getting beyond performative politics. Been looking to the bills that the different parties and different legislators and executives propose and sign into law. That's where you see the expression of the values of the party. And the GOP in 2017 under Trump, their values were, to reduce the top corporate tax rate from 35% to 21%.
They were abstract. They had abstract values.
Right. Abstract values. That would be screw you, middle class folks. It hasn't helped. That is the Trump tax cuts in toto, which he proclaimed at the time would cost us nothing, are now estimated by the Government Accountability Office to ultimately cost the U.S. in $1.7 trillion. Wow. Biden's now trying to raise that corporate tax rate back up to 28%. By the way, the average tax rate globally is higher than that on corporations.
There's a reason why people like running out of the states, you know?
Yep. They call those, there's all sorts of interesting corporate merger rules, but they... It's basically tax sheltering. So, all of a sudden, Apple's headquarters is in the Isle of Man or the Bahamas or any place that doesn't tax corporations. It's always been an issue. Before Trump's tax cut, corporate taxes equaled about 2% of our GDP. The worldwide average is 3%. After the Trump tax cuts, corporate taxes are 1% of our GDP. It got cut in half. And here's what That $1.7 trillion in cost to the United States from the Trump tax cuts. Here's what. Per the Joint Committee on Taxation, $0 of that went to the bottom 90% of the income earners in this country. I'm going to say that again. According to the Joint Committee on Taxation, $0 of the Trump tax cuts went to the bottom 90% of income earners in this country. That's what the GOP values, rich people. It is a painful reality, and yet we have to deal with it. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention this new proposal from the GOP. This is coming from the Republican Study Commission, published yesterday. And what they do is they publish their ideal 2024 budget. And boy, is that interesting. Lots of stuff in there. If you're on the line, hold, please. 844-967-2789. I would be remiss. Not a single dollar of the Trump tax cuts went to the bottom 90% of the income earners in this country. And here's what the Republican Study Commission proposes for the year 2024. It is to get rid of free lunches at schools. This is called the community eligibility provision. And the rationale of the Republican Party about this one is that you're not means testing students in schools to decide who really actually needs a free lunch. Let me tell you something, Republican Study Commission. When I went to school and the kids that had to show up for the free meals, yeah, that wasn't fun for them. If you just give them away free, and I'm going to get to how a school district actually qualifies for the community eligibility provision, there will be less stigma. The GOP doesn't want children to be fed well while they're trying to learn. That's the value that you're trying to express. And by the way, this fig leaf baloney that they offered, it's because you're not means testing the students, is garbage. Because for a school district to even qualify for the CEP, it only goes to very low income school districts. So again, that's a GOP value. I'm going to save more of this for next week because we got callers lined up. Let's listen, because these are all good listeners, good friends. Evan, what might be your favorite little click of sound, and then we'll start with some of our friends here.
We're gonna play some sound.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me think here. We got so much
your
good
choice,
stuff.
My friend.
Oh, we got so much good. All right, this is one of mine. It's concise.
I love it.
Under the Presidential Records Act, which is civil, not criminal. I had every right to have these documents.
Well, it started out under the Presidential Records Act and the archives trying to retrieve documents that Trump had no right to have.
I love it.
Yep, that was his attorney general, folks. Bill Barr saying Donald Trump is full of blankety blank blank. We're going to start with my friend Tom from L.A. And Mike, will be up next. Tom from L.A., briefly. What do you have to say this afternoon on Talkback Thursdays on the Maggie Dawn Show?
Sure, Maggie. First off, we the people ultimately are the
government. You there, Tom?
Never forget that. Yep, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep, can now. Go ahead.
Okay. We the people are the government. Must never forget that. Second, it was Frank Luntz that came up with that great word of the death tax over inheritance tax. And Grover Norquist and his tax pledge to the people that were running for office. Under Eisenhower, it was $3 million or more, and then it was taxed at 91% at that point. Eisenhower, good Republican president. There is a different type, and I know you know this, but...
We might have to hold you over, Tom. We got like 15 seconds.
Tom, you hang on there. Mike, you'll be next after Tom when we come back after the break. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on Civic Media. Republicans go again, don't they? They just can't help themselves. Put your thumb on the little guy. Keep the poor poor. Tax breaks for the rich foreign nationals and corporations. That's the platform. Can't get away from the facts. Cannot get away from the facts. And last little tidbit about what the Republicans value. H.R. 44, House Resolution 44, introduced on Tuesday by 217 Republicans in the House, voted to repeal a Biden executive order issued this January that required any firearm with a stabilizing brace allowing it to be shot from the shoulder to be categorized as a rifle and registered as such. Yeah, they want to get rid of that. Mm-hmm. That's good. That'll help with the mass shootings, won't it? My friend Tom on hold. I got my boss, Mike Crute, waiting for me. So Tom from LA, I had to cut you off, friend. What else would you like to share with us this afternoon?
I just want to share the fact that there are three different types of presidential documents. One is a document that actually the president cannot actually classify, and that is documents that belong to the Defense Department or belong to different types of departments there, and the president cannot classify those. The second type of document, the kind that can classify, are things like executive orders. And the third thing is their personal items and things like that. Bill Clinton had to do that when he did an interview with somebody where he had to ask if he could actually even tape the interview for future type of reasons. But people keep on thinking that all these documents, just because the president says that they're unclassified, that they are. And that's not true. Those documents belong to different departments.
Yeah, and they belong to the American people, fundamental bottom line. Thanks, Tom. Listen, there's just no argument that these were Donald Trump's documents. They belong to the United States, classified, compartmentalized. Information does not belong to the president under which those documents were created for time in memoriam. Otherwise, Republicans, Obama, Barack Hussein Obama could be walking around with all sorts of scary information. But I digress. My friend Michael, what do you have to say this afternoon on the Maggie Dawn Show?
Well, Maggie Dawn, two things. I want to start with the most egregious corporate tax break on the books. It's here in the state of Wisconsin. It's the manufacturers in agricultural tax break. For those that qualify, they pay what? Corporate taxes of 0.4% here in the state of Wisconsin. And that's amongst the lowest category of business gets.
Yep.
And not only that, Maggie, but it totally blows the budget. I mean, I realize we're sitting on surpluses, but we're also sitting on historically low unemployment rates. What are we stimulating by giving these industries tax breaks that no other industry gets? 0.4% in the state of Wisconsin, the corporate tax rate for manufacturers and agricultural friends of the Republicans that jammed it through for them.
Yep. When I worked in city government, thanks so much for listening, Mike, and for calling in. I always want to hear from you. When I worked in city government for the city of Milwaukee, one of my jobs was to deal with tax assessment challenges. And one of the challenges that I litigated was brought by what you call big box stores and Walgreens types. They said you should value this property as if it was vacant. That was one thing, and there's been a huge tax loophole about that. But the one that really blew my mind, and I'll just share with y'all because you like a little wonk from me every once in a while, was this one. Billboards. Billboards. You could actually tax as property tax the income that was earned by billboards. Well, Maggie, that's terrible. Property taxes aren't income taxes. Well, they are if you think about it, because a billboard out in the middle of a cornfield is worth nothing. And a little square of property that it sits on worth nothing because no one sees it. But a billboard next to I-94 East, oh yeah, that's worth a lot of money because it gets a lot of eyeballs. So there's this old principle in Wisconsin case law called inextricable intertwinement. And by taxing billboards based upon their income value as a property tax matter, completely fine under Wisconsin jurisprudence, that law had been in our case law for decades and decades and decades, generated tens of millions of dollars in property taxes for local governments statewide. But of course, mostly in the city of Milwaukee. So what did Republicans do when they challenged the city of Milwaukee's billboard assessments and I kicked their butts in circuit court and then in the appeals court? And then when the state Supreme Court denied their certification application, yeah, they just paid the state GOP to create an explicit exception for billboards in our state property tax laws. And keep in mind, folks, anytime a different property tax that is targeted at businesses is eliminated by law, it doesn't go away. It just shifts that tax burden onto every other dollar of property taxed in that jurisdiction, which means you and your home and renters through rent. So every time another business interest gets a property tax break, that means, in effect, you pay more on your property taxes. Again, you know, the values of the good old GOP. I want to give you a little bit of what we've got from some of the Republican candidates and other notable Republicans on Trump's problem that's going on. So let's run through these if we can. We got some time here. Let's start with good old John Thune. Cut one.
We've lost three elections in a row now. He's been the issue in every one of those elections. And I don't think, you know, getting into this tit for tat where it's a race to the bottom to see who can, you know, retaliate against whom from one administration to the next is the way to lead the country forward.
It's so bizarre to hear, you know, some semblance of reason. It's weird.
So I think that has overwhelmingly been my talk back to the TV. It's like, oh, my God, they're speaking the truth. Finally, like, who put the quarter in them?
And there's been a couple pockets, you know, over the last like 5-6 years, we've seen this a couple of times, you know, and it's sort of noteworthy every time I notice it. It stands out. But
yeah,
I think
this is of a different level. To me, this is the fissure, right? Like, we are seeing the first cracks. Let's hear from our Ayn Rand loving, Christian proselytizing do-gooder, but not really, because the policies speak more loudly than his rhetoric. Good old former House Speaker Paul Ryan.
And this one's national security. This one's different. I used to have these same documents myself. As Speaker of the House. So I think this goes beyond just some petty thing. Now, my guess is Trump will play this politically pretty well and make this weaponization argument and make this about Joe Biden's Justice Department. And that's going to have some political saliency. So I don't think Marco's wrong in saying that there's some political sting here. Mm-hmm. But I can't help but think the weight and the baggage of all of this. And this one's national security. This one, I think we want a nominee who's not weighed down with so much baggage in order to win this election. And it's really clear a lot of our suburban voters will not vote for Donald Trump. I can tell you how it works in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine Donald Trump winning Wisconsin. He lost it in 20. And do you think he's done things since 2020 election, like January 6th, that make those swing voters want to vote for him?
But why do you think he still has the support that he has, though?
Because he has a very good core of support. And he's got a good...
It's as simple as that.
He's got a great core of support. And in a primary, that is what you build off of. And so it does matter. But my point is, I think the electability argument is going to become more salient with this indictment and whatever happens in the future. All the exhaustion of all the Trump baggage is going to make it easier now, I think, to make the argument to his core supporters. He's not electable. He's going to cost us the Senate again. He's going to cost us more House seats. He'll cost us the White House. And we want to win. And we do want to win.
Yeah. So in this
case, go look at what are these other great conservatives that are in the race who don't have all this baggage. All
right. It's like great conservatives. Those other guys that totally want to screw you, too.
Just
right? You notice how Paul Ryan, and this is such vintage Paul Ryan, he's very adept at sort of talking around the thing. That's what makes me want to scream at the television when I hear his almost automatonic. Ugh. He doesn't say what he thinks. He doesn't say whether he thinks someone who is this criminally reckless with our nation's most sensitive secrets, violating and victimizing every American in the way that Donald Trump has. He doesn't say anything about whether or not this man should be held to account or whether or not he would be fit to serve as president again. Shame on you, Paul. You don't get to have this every which way look like a freaking choir boy. Go do some more. What was that, like P90X?
Oh, yeah.
Get busy in your workout room, Paul. Your time has come and gone. Don't try to reinsert yourself into the conversation. You had an opportunity, and you fumbled the ball. And he's talking about Donald Trump. Listen, almost everything that Donald Trump says is, of course, a projection psychologically. It is a political party trying to gaslight the entirety of the American public. And that's what happens when Trump starts saying the very day that he's indicted that if he's elected, he's going to pardon himself and he's going to go after Biden and the Biden crime family. By the way, they have no evidence. This tape, I mean, for real, every single one of these Republicans that were making such hay about, well, we caught Joe Biden on tape.
We're not going to wait. You can't see it yet.
Yeah, you can't see it yet. And wait, Jim Jordan, I don't know for sure if these tapes exist. Comer leading the charge. He said, don't know if they're legit or not. By the way, the tape allegedly is that's been alluded to. No one in the public forum has heard it. And the tip or the information came from a foreign national. So if you're a Republican and you thought the Steele dossier was problematic, so too here. So too here. And then, of course, my favorite one is, oh, good old Rojo. And here, this is Rojo word salad. That's Paul Ryan talks around it, tiptoe through the tulips with Paul Ryan. Rojo, it's just like flat out word salad. Kind of have to shake your head and be like, what did you just say?
I have some Rojo.
Oh, give me some Rojo.
You know, President Ford decided it was best for America not to pursue a prosecution against President Nixon. President Trump pretty much made the same decision, decided not to pursue any kind of prosecution of Hillary Clinton. You know, Joe Biden could have made the exact same decision, but he didn't. He allowed a SWAT raid on a very secure residence of President Trump over federal records, even though he was holding classified records himself.
You'd love to hear it.
Okay, first of all, do you see what's baked into that cake, right? He is implying that presidents rightly should and can control the Department of Justice and the FBI. Disgusting. Your chief lawyers, your chief criminal enforcement lawyers, and your primary domestic law enforcement, federal domestic law enforcement agency should not execute directives at the personal whims of a politician to achieve political retribution. Can we all agree on that? Can we all agree on that? That this democracy is not served well if we use guns and lock people up and take over their lives through criminal prosecutions because somebody doesn't like somebody and they have power and control. That's disgusting. If you are on the line, please hold 844-967-2789. We're going to hit you with some more sound when we come back. There's some juicy bits. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked here on Civic Media. Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on Civic Media. You can always join the conversation, no matter what your political proclivity. Right, left, center, passionate pragmatist, reality-based thinker, lover of facts. You know, all that's welcome here. What won't be tolerated is hate and, you know, not facts. That's not good for debate. 844-967-2789. Just because we can we please listen to Chris Christie go off a little bit? Because finally somebody's doing it.
Man, we have so much good stuff today. But yeah, here's some Chris Christie.
Oh, well, don't lose any of it, Evan. We want to keep these things at the ready.
Yeah, it's in the vault. It's official. All right, here we go.
Perfect.
With the conduct that's detailed in that indictment. It's reckless. It's harmful to American national security. And it doesn't show the kind of judgment that you need to be an effective president during difficult times. I don't think that most Republicans support the conduct.
He doesn't cause as much whiplash, though. You know, he's sort of been vocal for a while now. It doesn't snap your neck so hard.
Doesn't exhibit the judgment. I mean, for real. It's good. Chris Christie is now starting to go after DeSantis as well. And he should, right?
Yeah, he's DeSantis, a spooky man. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Talk about not having the judgment for governance. I mean, what kind of leader are you? And what sort of precedent do you set when you can pass legislation easily because you control both houses? I mean, that's not much of a feat. By the way, most of DeSantis's stuff is just exploiting and trying to hold down folks that are just fighting to have their human dignity acknowledged, to be able to exist and self-determine in the way that they decide. Cancel culture? Yeah, don't say gay. Don't teach CRT to adults at a public university. They may actually start to think.
That was the craziest 6 months when that stuff all snowballed together, you know? Where I'm used to the incompetence and the bad faith arguments and all of that, but it just got so intense.
It's so vile, yes. Right? It is so hurtful. And hateful at its base, which is a wonderful cue up for your favorite country music legend and mine, the one and only Garth Brooks. Over, I think it was yesterday, gave us this wonderful bit. Go ahead, Garth. Tell us what it's all about.
On it, one is diversity, inclusiveness. That's me. It's always been me. We got the same kind of thing on "We Shall Be Free." People. You know, wanting to burn her stuff. And so I get it. Everybody's got their opinions. But inclusiveness is always going to be me. I think diversity is the answer to the problems that are here and the answer to the problems that are coming. So I love diversity, all included, so all are welcome. I understand that might not be other people's opinions, but that's okay, man. They have their opinions. They have their beliefs. I have mine. Second thing, though, just let's talk about being a bar owner. I'm a bar owner now. Are we going to have the most popular beers in the thing? Yes. It's not our call if we don't or not. It's the patrons' call, the bosses, right? Bring them in there. If they don't want it, then I got to go to the distributor and say, hey, man, your stuff's not selling. And then the action gets taken, right? But the truth is, it's those people in those seats that make those decisions. And that's what Friends in Low Places is going to be. So here's the deal, man. If you want to come to Friends in Low Places, come in. Come in with love. Come in with tolerance, patience. Come in with an open mind. And it's cool. And if you're one of those people that just can't do that, I get it. If you ever are one of those people that want to try it, come. Let's go have some fun, okay? So I don't know how to explain it any better than that, other than what was just said.
It almost makes me want to like choke up hearing it, right? It's a plea to rationality and common sense based on tolerance.
It's the American plea. It's what I think of.
Correct.
You know? Yes.
Like, isn't that what we're supposed to be about? Not trying to hold everybody down and vilify people who are just trying to earn a fair wage take care of their families, live in a safe place, and enjoy some recreation time in a good and clean environment in a beautiful county park. Right? Come on now. We got to save that one. Because that last bit, Evan.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's it right there. Like, don't take it from me, man. Take it from Garth. The fact that he's calling his bar Friends in Low Places, he's saying, in a way, what I have been trying to say when we get under the GOP policies. We are in the low places and we're there together. Do not let the garbage rhetoric about a false narrative about wokeism distract you from the fact that Republicans want us all to stay in the low place. They don't want anybody in a low place getting any higher. And they do that by telling us that we're different from one another, that we believe and value different things. When I think each one of us wants to live our lives with dignity and to be allowed to do that with some tolerance and respect. And that's basically it. I want to return to a couple of things that happened on Fox News. And then, of course, I got to take my friend Mark if we got time. Mark, if we don't, my apologies. And I will talk to you next week, my brother. But these two things were said and done on Fox recently. So there's a Chyron. It's the sort of ticker that goes across the bottom of Fox News called Joe Biden a Wannabe Dictator. And it was almost immediately pulled down, but someone at Fox News did that. We can have debates. We can talk about, you know, the merits of Donald Trump's indictment. And I'll just note this. I don't really care about the fact that people are talking about Donald Trump's pardon. I don't think it's happening anytime soon. But the fact that the conversation amongst Republicans has moved to the pardon, they've conceded his guilt. Let's just make that clear. When you talk about a pardon, you've conceded the man's guilt. And the other thing that Fox said was Jesse Waters said this week that the media is now the most dangerous thing in the U.S. I don't know about you, E, but I disagree.
What do you think?
My name is Maggie Dawn. Yep. This has been the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm done for the week. You'll hear a replay tomorrow, and I'm out next week, Monday and Tuesday. But please come on back on Wednesday. I appreciate your ears and your time, and we will talk to you soon here on Civic Media.